This is World Cafe. I'm Raina Duris. Amy Ray can find hope in almost anything. On her latest solo album, If It All Goes South, the Indigo Girls member finds positivity and love in some places folks might give up on. In this session, Amy Ray talks about her complicated relationship with church as a queer person and why she's chosen to stay in the South, specifically Georgia, despite the political climate. She also shares what inspires her to make change as an activist and what inspires her to make music as a songwriter. The live performances you hear today were recorded at Americana Fest this past September in Nashville, and Amy Ray begins by playing the lead single from If It All Goes South, Joy Train.
Stuck behind a chicken truck, my baby's sleeping in the back. Driving out the demons as the feathers blow on past. Burning up the sky to crackers in the summertime. Dwelling on a cage while life flies by. Roll, Jordan, roll. Roll, Jordan, roll. Roll, Jordan, roll. It's Saxon Jackson all the way to that Mississippi town. Maker ever haunts me, I swear he follows me around. I saw him riding with Christ Calvary, the horses and the hounds, singing joy is thy victory at the revival picnic ground. And death, where is thy sting to be found? There's 16 miles that Memphis jail. Sheriff tells me with a smile, said I made 100 trips, it's quiet, I'm bored right now. Miss Drew got down and dancing with James Brown. She said in 63 I was a society queen. Now they say everything is fine, two crackers giving me the lowdown. But if it's trouble they won't, but it's trouble they will find. Roll, Jordan, roll. Roll, Jordan, roll. Papa's got a brand new bag. Action Jackson all the way to that Tennessee town. When Martin Luther haunts me, I swear he follows me around singing, death was thy sting to be found. Child, dream until you can't. Cape Crusaders and hapless chance. Don't get caught squandering the good times, dwelling on a cage while life flies by. Roll, Jordan, roll. Roll, Jordan, roll. Roll, Jordan, roll. It's Jackson, Jackson all the way to that Mississippi town. Maker ever haunts me, I swear he follows me around. Riding with Christ Calvary, the horses and the hounds, singing joy is not victory at the revival picnic ground. And death, where is thy sting to be found? I open my window, spring is on the bloom. I'm burying the bones, I'm coming home, make me some room. Jumping on that joy train. Y'all made me some room.
Joy Train. That was Amy Ray. That's a song from her new album, If It All Goes South. And I'm overjoyed to have Amy Ray as my guest on World Cafe today. Amy, welcome back.
Thank you so much.
Now, in that song that we just heard, which is the opening track to the album, you mention Martin Luther King, you mention civil rights activist Medgar Evers, you also mention Christ's Cavalry and a revival picnic. Maybe first, for folks who've never seen one or been to one, like myself, what is a revival picnic or a revival?
I mean, it runs the gamut. So, you know, like it can be just a gathering, you know, in a church, or it can be in a, like a fairground, or it's, you know, whatever facility, or outside, or a park, or a picnic. But it's just a gathering of people that they usually announce, and you go and do like a church service outside or inside or whatever. But it's specifically to like create fervor and joy and sort of healing and stuff. I was in Jackson, Mississippi, and I was riding my bike. I rode by this park, and I saw these men on horseback, for real, these African-American men riding around in like nice clothes and like cowboy hats. It was fascinating. And then there was a revival going on in the park, and they were sort of riding the perimeter. So it was like, I don't know, it was just one of the most amazing things, like out of a dream sort of scene. I guess it was just really inspiring for me to think about Medgar Evers and Martin Luther King Jr. and Rosa Parks, all the great civil rights leaders that we've had, you know, and the way that they just have this joyful approach to everything, even though they're so, you know, trampled down all the time. I mean, not trampled down like they lose, like that kind of submissive thing, but I mean, like physically beaten, yet they keep on singing, right? Even now, you know, when you go to Black Lives Matter protests and you see these folks, and there's so much going on that's so negative, but there's so much joy in those marches, you know. And I really discovered that during the pandemic when I went to marches and stuff. I was like, this is quite inspiring to see.
I'm speaking with Amy Ray on World Cafe. Your album's called If It All Goes South. You grew up in Georgia. You live in the South still. And the South, even more than when we last talked, seems like there's a lot of focus on it. It's almost like a battleground for a lot of the things that are happening in this country right now, restrictive abortion laws and voting rights and transgender and LGBTQ rights. And I think for people who haven't been to the South before or haven't spent time there, reading about the South, it can become this sort of flattened idea more than a real place where people live. But you do live there, and you face down a lot of the South's difficult history in these songs. I guess I'll start with this. Why have you chosen to stay?
Oh, my God. I mean, for every reason in the world. I love it here so much. And I'm from generations upon generations of Southerners, like way back. You know, and certainly we have so many skeletons in the closet. Not even in the closet. We have so many skeletons and ancestors that enslaved people and, you know, put them on work camps, basically. And, you know, my feeling is I'm here and I want to do whatever I can to contribute to healing and mending. You can never make up for it, but you can change the paradigm, right? And try to keep going and making it better. So that's why, I mean, that's one reason I stay, because I want to be, I live in a conservative area too. And I just feel like for me personally, I mean, I feel like the least I can do is stay where I am. And besides the fact that I love it and I just don't want to leave, I also want to be engaged. This is not a place to be owned by the conservative sort of right-wing movement that wants to, you know, oppress women and be racist and not, you know, give a hoot about public health and, Medicaid expansion and all the things we have trouble with in Georgia and trans issues. This is a place that we own, that we are in too. And no one has the right to tell us we can't be here. And that's my feeling, a strong feeling about it. So I'm going to be here, you know, because I love it as much as the next person.
It's World Cafe. I'm talking to Amy Ray today. There's the fantasy of the South and the reality of the South. And there's this tension between those two things that you explore in the song Tear It Down. We're going to hear you perform that song in a second. But could you talk about that song? What can you tell us about Tear It Down?
Well, that song was inspired by a group called Project Say Something in Florence, Alabama, that is continuously working to get this monument, a Confederate monument that's in front of the courthouse, relocated to like a contextualized sort of historical place. They don't even want to like get rid of it. They're willing to just move it. But it's these Black activists. And the woman I know, Camille Bennett, is one of the most amazing speakers and activists. And she really inspired me. Emily and I went over there during the pandemic and sang some songs during one of their protests. And she just totally inspired me. So I wrote this whole song. And it's sort of my perspective as a white person and all the I guess, like, redemption I needed to find within myself for all the things that I didn't realize when I was young, you know, and just, like, because I was totally that kid that was like, the South's going to rise again, rebel flags, Confederacy, you know. Like, it's totally about me, you know. Like, I just really hung on to that imagery for a long time, even when I knew it wasn't right, you know. And so I was like, if I understand that. So, like, I want to be a messenger to those people that are still in that space of, like, you know, we have to get rid of this. So it's about that, and it's about, like, how beautiful it is here, and we don't even really deserve it. You know, like, it's on the backs of, like, so many people that suffered to build our, to build what we have here, to create recipes, to teach us farming methods, to everything that we do down here. We owe to all those people that were here, the indigenous tribes that were here, to all the enslaved African-American folks, you know? And so it's just all about that. It's like, tear down the racism, you know, just, like, tear it down.
We're going to come back and talk some more, but right now, here is Amy Ray. This is recorded live for World Cafe. Tear it down.
You say I miss the old ways, but not like that. Dog whistling fool of a king. Don't you know that old Dixieland is more than dirt roads and simple ways? Tear it down, tear it down, that ragged cross of race. I don't guess we deserve all this beauty and the light. Where the firefly returns in June as dusk sings a lullaby. All the lives that fertilized and the manifested hands, the human bondage that provides the bounty of this land. Watching Gone with the Wind. Tradition runs the core of me. The song of South, whistling Dixie again. Oh, that tune lived and breathed in me, and it wants to live again. We must fight with all our might to kill that racist hell. Tear it down, tear it down, that ragged cross of race. Stone and the ore beaten into monuments that epitaph I long to read is, here lies slavery.
Performed live for World Cafe, you just heard Amy Ray playing a song from her new album, If It All Goes South. That was Tear It Down. on the album, you're joined by Alison Russell for that song. And many other guests join you on this record, including Brandi Carlile and Sarah Jarosz. Let's talk about making the album, because it was live to tape, but you did have some restrictions to contend with in the studio. So could you describe your studio setup for us?
There's a lot of us. There's seven of us in the band. And if you count Alison Brown, there's eight of us, because Alison Brown, our banjo player, is also in the band. And so we had 24 tracks, and we were basically like, let's do this live. And, you know, if one person feels like they didn't have a great performance, you got to, like, make your case, basically, because we'll either all do the whole song again, or you're going to have to go in and retrack your whole performance, you know, because we can't. We did some tape editing and taping tape together in takes, but, like, you can't do that for, like, one part. So that was, you know, that was really fun, because everybody, we made it into a game, you know, like, if the fiddle player was like, I can play better than that, we'd be like, all right, make your case, like, play it for us now. We'll listen to you. We'll see if we think you can. But it was great to just play live with everyone and have to just be in the moment and get it, you know? And so that was really cool. And my band is, like, super cool. And then we had Sarah Jarosz, the incredible mandolin player, guitar player, songwriter, singer. She's amazing. She came by and actually played live with us, which was really cool.
Yeah, you said that one of your favorite nights was when she came by to do a mighty thing. What happened that night?
I mean, like, she pulled in at, like, you know, I don't know, 6 p.m. and the session was going to be over at 10. And that was the end of the recording session, period. And we had learned the song earlier, the band, in the day. We took some time out to just really make sure we knew it. So she just landed, drove to the studio, and we basically, like, played the song for her in the control room and then stuck her in an isolation booth. And it was like, let's do it. And she's just so good, you know. It's like, of course, the first take is perfect for her. We had to do it a couple more times. But and then we did overdub her vocals. Then she went out there and stood in the big room and sang to the tape performance. And then we were like, well, we got, like, 30 minutes left. You want to, like, play mandolin on a couple other things? So we just threw some stuff up and she, you know, just nailed it. And it was, I mean, she's amazing. Sarah Jarosz is amazing.
She's fantastic. I'm going to let people hear a bit of the album version of A Mighty Thing right now.
That's what they taught me when I was young. Don't hate the sinner, hate the sin. I add it up, it don't make sense. They tip my head into the holy well to save me from the fires of hell. Saying Jesus died so you could shine. You can't beat that deal.
So that's a bit of A Mighty Thing from Amy Ray featuring Sarah Jarosz. Could you tell us about the funeral you went to that this song was inspired by?
Oh, my friend's going to kill me because he's like, hey, that was my mom's funeral, you know. But it was at this, it was up here where I live, and it was a dear woman who was just an amazing woman. She's actually my child's grandmother and my child's father's mom, but she was incredible. She was very devout. So the church funeral was at a very devout, sort of faithful church. It was very kind of charismatic. And the preacher was just unbelievable. And, I mean, he had me, like, ready to go up to the, you know, altar or whatever, you know, and I was just like, oh, my God. And, you know, some of my friends were just, like, rolling their eyes because they're, you know, they're not into that. But for me, it's like, I love that, like, sort of, like, charisma and, like, just the thing that transports you into another space. I love it. I love church. But I know, you know, the other part of it is that, you know, I grew up in the church, and, like, there were so many things I had to wrestle with that were just, like, my demons from that, you know. But he just kept saying, you know, if you accept Jesus and as your Savior, you know, you live forever. And he had this very, like, picturesque view of heaven, described it in this way that was, like, you know, gilded this, gilded that, beautiful, everybody's young there, Jesus is still 33, you know, whatever, all this stuff. And I was just like, And then at the end of every phrase, because he's such a good preacher, he would go, you can't beat that deal. You can't beat that deal. And I was like, I got to remember this. This is like, I'm almost ready to go up to the altar and I got to write a song about this. But then it turned into a song about, you know, my whole, because I grew up in the church and I love my church and I still love my church.
Do you still go to church?
Sometimes, not as often, but I go on certain days when I can. And I go with my mom, you know. And they're celebrating their 200th anniversary next year. And Emily and I are going to play there in the sanctuary. They're very progressive now. They're super like progressive. But when I grew up, it was, you know, it was very conservative. And I had a series of youth ministers that were like mixed back. Some of them were amazing. And some of them were like very radical pro-life sort of indoctrination type folks who meant well, but, you know, really destroyed like my sort of inner being in some ways at that moment. But yeah, I guess I felt the shame around being gay and, you know, just not feeling like I was living up to what I thought, you know, you were supposed to be. And you know, and just also I had like a lot, I was a tomboy, everybody made fun of me. I just was like, all those things were happening at the same time that I was having a blast in my youth group, you know, and just having the best friends that I've ever had really in that group.
I mean, when you talk about this, it's hard not to sort of hear a parallel, almost the way that you can sort of see the positive and the negatives with your experience growing up in the church, and then the same way that you kind of see the positive and negatives about the South where you grew up.
It's all the same thing, you know, and it's not, you know, I will say, I don't think it's unique to the South. There are some things unique to the South, of course, but there are small towns everywhere. And there are rural areas everywhere where kids have had this experience and still do right now, mm-hmm. you know? Like, I mean, I have definitely have talked to people that are in their teenagers, you know, that go to church and are very in the same space I was in, you know? And it's like, well, that hasn't changed. Yeah. You know, it depends on the church you go to. There are definitely reconciling, you know, congregations that are very accepting, and like ours, like Decatur First Methodist, which is totally like the greatest church now, you know? Things can change. You just have to stick with them.
A lot of this album does take place in the South, but one of the songs, in one of the songs, you head to New York City. Before we get into the nitty-gritty of the song, do you remember when you first went to New York City?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I was, like, just out of high school, and I went up there with some a girl that I was in love with and a couple of our friends, and we just had this, like, sort of trip to New York to just like see New York, you know, and it was incredible. We spent most of our time down in the Village and the East Village and Astoria and all that area around there and St. Mark's, and went to see, like, you know, the hotel that Dylan references and Joan Baez references in Diamonds and Rust that Dylan was at, and, you know, all those kind of things. And it was crazy down there. I have to say, it was crazy, you know, it was like, I mean, for me, it was just like my brain wanted to explode, right?
Well, one of the people that you spent time with on later trips to New York was Rita Houston. The song that we're going to hear to close this interview out is called Subway. You wrote it for Rita. She was an influential music director and a radio host at WFUV in New York City for many, many years, passed away in 2020. And she was an early booster of the Indigo Girls. What is your earliest memory of Rita?
Her smile and her wacky hair and just her way. You know, she was very professional, but very warm. And that's a very hard combination, you know, and had boundaries, you know, like she could separate her constructive criticism of your songs from her ability to just see who you are as a person and welcome you into her life, you know. And so I just remember being wowed by her, you know, mm-hmm. and sort of awestruck by this person that could be so great as a DJ and sort of in that kind of maverick place of, like, you know, really pushing people's careers and really making a difference and taking risk and stuff. And it wasn't personalized just to Indigo Girls music. It was like she was massively important to the queer community, especially. And I, when she was hospicing and in her last days, I was in touch with some of her friends who knew her so well and were like her besties, you know, and they would just talk to me about all the things they did when they were young with her. And it just, I sort of, compiled that with like memories I had of New York running around, you know, when I was young and just very like a loose cannon on the deck, usually in New York, you know. I had so much fun, but I was very wild. And I was thinking about Rita, just kind of like they would describe her going from one show to the next and, you know, just being just like joyful about everything and just like hitting like five different shows in one night. And I was like, God, that is the person that like we should always be, you know. I was very sad that she had to leave. And mm-hmm. I was also missing, believe it or not, it's like the one thing that I missed during the pandemic was like, as far as cities and traveling, was New York. I just really missed it, you know, because I was like, that's like the one place that I like to go besides Berlin, where I just feel like anything's possible.
Here's a live performance of Subway, Amy Ray on World Cafe.
In the Geminid shower, you flew away through a riot sky. Maverick queen of our galaxy. Play these tunes I wrote for her. You and your golden ear and flavor words. Tell us how you hung the stars. 'Cause I am useless in this aging hour of broken pipe dreams and a skyline of water towers. I crave the night, can't shake it from my sight. You knew me every time, you knew me every time. On the way I fell for every mountain range, every endless sky, every painted pony plane, every arrowhead this kid could fly. But on the hoof I found New York, getting room for some big tour, holding hands with girls down the streets and avenues, make it count in the music biz. And that's what you did. But me, I am still wondering, 'cause I crave the try, can't shake it from my mind. You saw me every time, you saw me every time. Don't take the subway, baby, let's just walk, we'd say, till our longing turns to day. Remember when Alphabet City was a wilderness to you and me before Rudy had his way. And they kept it all shut down from Jones Beach to the Mercury Lounge. After you left, it really hit the fan. So we took it to the streets, crying no justice, no peace. All for one, one for all, here comes the show. Hey man, turn on your radio. Baby, let's just walk, we'd say, till our longing turns to day. Remember when Alphabet City was a wilderness for you and me before Rudy had his way. This Georgia girl has got it bad for New York.
That was Subway, recorded live for World Cafe by my guest today, Amy Ray. It's from her new album, If It All Goes South. Amy, thank you so much for being here. Thanks for having this chat with me today.
No, thanks for doing this. Super sweet.
That was my conversation with Amy Ray. I'm Raina Duris, back in a moment with more World Cafe.